Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Straight talk from the docs, Dr. Arthur Perry with Dr. Mike at about 35 past the hour. But time now for What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. His website is whatstoxic.com. Hey, thanks for being here. It's spring. It's Lyme disease season. It's tick season. And let's get into that right away. Pretty topical. And you speak from experience today, right?
Yeah, well, you know, people think that a toxicologist from Connecticut is, of course, going to talk about Lyme disease because it started here. We've got a lot of the vectors that are carrying the disease in Connecticut, but it's a misnomer to think that it's just an East Coast problem, just a Connecticut problem, just because Lyme happens to be in Connecticut. People may not realize that L-Y-M-E is actually the town where it was first discovered. It is in Connecticut. But now it is recognized to be all across the Northeast. They're finding outbreaks of it in places like India. So the spirochete bacterium has spread through ticks all around the world. We think that it's related to the deer population because these are deer ticks. These ticks do feed off deer as well. But anyway, yeah, I was out clearing brush the other evening. And the next day, I found these things. They felt like hard scabs on my body. You know, it's kind of grossed out when you realize that this hard scab isn't really a wound that's trying to heal, but it has legs on it, and it's filled with your blood. And so, not to gross your audience out any further, I went to a clinic to get them pulled out because some were in hard-to-reach places. I could feel it and sort of feed it in the mirror, but I was not going to do that kind of surgery. Anyway, tweezers, sterilized tweezers with some alcohol to sterilize the body part as well. And I also like to anesthetize the tick. It lets go a little bit if you swab it with alcohol as well. And anyway, but in this case, I had the clinic nurse take them off of me, and then I did take a couple of doses of antibiotic, doxycycline, because if you do get infected, if they're on your body long enough for these buggers to get engorged with your blood, then they probably have been on you long enough to inject into you the spirochete bacterium that does lead to.
How do you tell? How do you tell if they're engorged with blood?
Because they are very small. They're tiny when they're not engorged with blood. So when you come in from hiking, you should look for them or have your
How big do they get?
Like a pinhead when they are not engorged. And when they are engorged, it looks like about a third the size of a dime. I mean, it's like a small round scab.
You got to be kidding. They're that big when they get?
Yeah. They get
I thought that was the reaction around them. I didn't realize that was them you were talking about.
Okay. So then if you end up getting a reaction, a circular loopy inflammation, a red circle around the bite itself, that may indicate that you need to see a doctor and take more antibiotics. That could be a sign that the arthritic and the feverish symptoms are on their way, and the antibiotics didn't do their job. So I think it's a really good idea whenever you get a tick bite, if it might be a deer tick, it might be the one that carries Lyme disease, and to get it checked out and take the antibiotics prophylactically. There's very few side effects with the antibiotics. You know, you can take some probiotics so that it doesn't upset your tummy too much. And then you know you'll be safe because there are very damaging long-term sequelae or effects.
So the way you protect yourself, and it's good we don't have them here yet in Cleveland or Cleveburg or around here, and many parts of the country don't, but obviously Connecticut and Lyme, Connecticut, I'm glad I learned that today.
I don't live in Lyme, Connecticut, but it's all through the Northeast.
Right, in the Northeast, and the key is when you go out, make sure the socks are over
The pants.
The pants. So that essentially you, I wore double socks and double pants, and you take them off separately when I went for a hike. And, you know, I said when I was with my sister in Poughkeepsie, New York, they have a lot of deer and deer ticks in that area. So I double closed. Essentially, I said, I'm going to get hot if I go for a walk, but that's okay.
Right.
I don't want any deer ticks.
Essentially, from now, from early to mid-April on through till, I'd say, mid-November, at least in this climate, until you get really good hard frost, that they're active. And you think that it's just from the ankles down and they're climbing up your socks, but actually they like to perch on brush, and they will jump on you, your waist, your shoulders. They may try to climb in around an open button around your neck. So you do really have to check your entire body, because it's not just from the socks up. What we recommend to people, if they're going to be in tick areas and hiking or clearing brush, is that they spray on their clothing, not on their body, but they spray on their clothing DEET, which is off, or it comes under many different mosquito repellent brand names. And that, that ticks don't like it, and that does tend to work, and you're not getting a much of a dose yourself. And DEET is, you know, when we talk about what's toxic and what's not, DEET has a pretty good profile. We just worry with DEET about the real little ones and keeping it away from their mouth and their face. But for everyone else, DEET is fine, and use it to keep those ticks off you.
All right, and don't forget, we have a mosquito season coming up, too. So you've got to keep an eye on mosquitoes for Triple E, right?
Exactly, Triple E, but also West Nile virus.
Right, West Nile, right. You're absolutely right. Okay, got about 2 minutes, Dr. G, to talk about some problems still exist with folks who are victims of the World Trade Center.
Yeah, this story is probably not going to go away anytime soon, because some of these conditions have a latency period, and the studies are just now starting to bear fruit. So we're looking now at the responders and the recovery workers from the disaster that was the World Trade Center 9/11. And these folks went in and had to clean up or had to haul people out of there during it. But, you know, they were getting heavily exposed. Now, we know that firemen do have, as an occupational hazard, exposure to higher levels of toxic chemicals such as cyanide, which are the result of fires. And so they have more heart conditions, more respiratory conditions in general, because of their smoke inhalation. Well, these 9/11 workers, whether they were firemen or whether they were policemen or whether they were cleanup crews, who some of them were wearing protection against the dust and the grime and just everything that was coated onto surfaces, and some of them weren't wearing any protection because it was an emergency. Well, a study was just done of various people that are part of this cohort, and found elevated rates of a couple of different kinds of cancer. Very interesting. Thyroid cancer came up, as well as prostate cancer, two hormonal cancers. And the kinds of chemicals that they were exposed to run the whole gamut, from lead and heavy metals and asbestos. I haven't seen mesothelioma pop up, which is a hallmark for asbestos, but some of them are endocrine disruptive, especially dioxin. And what you worry about with fires is the generation of probably the most potent carcinogen we know about, and that's dioxin. And so that can damage the thyroid and create thyroid problems. So very interesting results, and there's going to be more to report. And if you ever are in a fire, try not to breathe in the smoke or get exposed to the dust afterward, because it can contain carcinogens.
That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Check out his website, whatstoxic.com. Toxic things and things that aren't toxic. So some may surprise you, but it's a good thing to go to the website and check those things out. Coming up next at Straight Talk from the Docs, Dr. Arthur Perry will be checking in, and stick around for that. Don't forget udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Any questions for Dr. Mike or Dr. Perry or any of our guests along the way? And thanks for listening today. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.